Once again, it's your boy, this your motherfucking boy, King No Uncensored. We got the Game Force. Game Force is in the building. The Game Force have started, ladies and gentlemen. But before we get to that, remember I told you, I think my YouTube video is still up. I think my YouTube video is still up, though. It's definitely up. Something leaked that Coach Danigault from the Oklahoma City Thunder won Coach of the Year earlier, and I realized that it wasn't official yet, but somebody must have leaked the script because I got the news that he won, but I just wasn't sure. But today it was officially announced that Oklahoma City Thunder coach Mark Danigault won Coach of the Year. He led OKC, one of the youngest teams, the youngest team to ever make the playoffs, to a number one seed. Last year, these guys were what? Virtually a nine seed in the play-in. And now, they're the number one overall seed. That's crazy, bro. Shout out to him. He is pretty solid. Can't help but show love. Oh, man. The injury bug stays biting Kawhi Leonard. So, Kawhi Leonard was out game four of the Clippers game due to knee inflammation. And this has led me to a tough take, but it's got to be said. I feel like Kawhi Leonard should retire. I mean, Kawhi has played, you know, his best years are behind him, unfortunately, because he just can't seem to, you know, his body continues to fail him. I mean, if you look at Kawhi Leonard, he's a Hall of Famer. Easily. He'll get in. He'll get into the Hall of Fame. Despite his numbers not being super gaudy, but if you look at his career numbers, I mean, he's averaged 20 points, just over 6 rebounds a game, 3 assists, shot 50% from the field, shot 39% from 3. I think ever since he tore his ACL on San Antonio, he hasn't necessarily been the same. And the crazy part about that is this year is the most games that he's played since 2017. And I really feel that it could be that time for Kawhi to hang it up. I mean, he's won two NBA championships, won finals MVP, and both got two finals MVPs. I mean, he is super accomplished. I mean, six-time NBA All-Star, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, seven times All-Defensive Team, and on the NBA 75 team. So, I feel like Kawhi has accomplished enough, and I think he should just not do any further damage to him, because you don't want to see Kawhi Leonard in a wheelchair. But prayers to Kawhi. Hopefully he can come back in this series, because this team, you know, I mean, they're on a run. And I'm sure that he would love to be a part of it. Oh, boy. So there's this Jokic and LeBron meme going around, right? Where it's a picture of LeBron yelling at his coach, Darvin Ham, to challenge a play. And there's the other side shows Jokic yelling at the referee for a call. And they're saying, you know, to an extent, basically, that it's a double standard. It's a double standard going around. Like, when LeBron does it, everybody criticizes him. But when Jokic does it, nobody complains. Well, here's the difference. I'll give you the difference right now. We'll shut all this shit down. It's not no fucking double standard. It's one thing to contest the call and yell at the referee, but it's another to jump up and down, be extra, and act like a fucking three-year-old that didn't get what the fuck they wanted. It's a difference when you're yelling and then when you're yelling and being extra. And that's what LeBron James is. He's extra. Jokic is yelling at the ref just like any other player would yell at the ref. Nobody's going to get down on Jokic for yelling at the referee about a bad call. So y'all bronsexuals got to shut that shit down. Y'all sexuals is hella annoying, B. For real. Jumping up and down, having a temper tantrum, disrespecting your fucking coach and shit. That's nothing compared to what Jokic did. Jokic was contesting a call. And Jokic didn't even get no technical foul. So obviously, they didn't feel like what he did or said was harmful. So shut y'all bitch asses up. That shit is ridiculous. LeBron can't do nothing wrong to y'all bronsexuals. And we ain't talking about regular LeBron fans that call it like it is. We talking about them sexuals. Them niggas that are obsessed with LeBron, that'll defend anything that he does, whether it's right or dead ass wrong. All right. Now finally reached the main event. Y'all been patiently waiting, just like an AIDS test. What's the result? Not positive. Who the best pot dies a big? Ain't no best. Y'all know what the fuck time it is. It's time to talk game fours. We're here. And that Party Next Door review is on the way. I have not listened to the album. I have been busy putting out content and videos, so I have not gotten to it, but I will do the PND review very soon. But we just got to get to the real shit. So, the Orlando Magic have defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers 112-89. Let's look at the box scores. Darius Garland finally showed up. He had 14 points. Donovan Mitchell had 18 points. Jarrett Allen, 21 points, 9 rebounds. Evan Mobley, 14 points. Let's look at the Magic. Franz Wagner, 34 points, 13 rebounds. Shit. That's amazing. Yeah, he had a hell of a performance. It was great watching Franz operate in that game. He really took the reins after Paolo Banchero had a rough night. He only had 9 points, 4 of 14 from the field. Wendell Carter Jr. had 11 points. Jalen Suggs had 12 points. Markelle Fultz had 12 points as well. Jonathan Isaac had 14 points off the bench. I told y'all, Orlando is God at the crib. It's just on that road, man. They gotta, in order for Orlando to win this series, they gotta win in Cleveland. If they don't, they're going home. It's just as simple as that. But Orlando looked a lot more focused. And then when, you know, this is the crazy part. These guys won by 23 points, and Paolo only had 9. Can you imagine if Paolo would have had his usual 20, 21 points? Shit. It would have been over. Like, they would have won by 40. So I assume that Paolo in game 5 is going to have a better game. I did pick Orlando to win this series. So if Franz Wagner continues to play like this, I don't think there will be anything Cleveland can do. Because you got to understand, like, Franz Wagner is like 6'9", 6'10". And got handles like a guard. And he's very patient and calculated. So you have to really look into certain things. Next up, the Los Angeles Lakers defended. The Los Angeles Lakers defeated the Denver Nuggets 119-108.
I will survive as long as I don't know the rest of the words of that motherfucking song.
Yeah, they survived. The Lakers survived. They finally put together 4 clean quarters of basketball. Let's look at the box scores first before we talk about it. Michael Porter Jr., 27 points, 11 rebounds. Like, he's having a great series. Nikola Jokic, 33 points, 14 rebounds, 14 assists, and they still lost. That's crazy. Jamal Murray, 22 points. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 14 points. Sheesh. If you would have saw this, you would have thought that they won. But the Lakers had 4 niggas with 20 points or more. D'Angelo Russell, 21 points. 4 of 8 from 3. Austin Reeves, 21 points. Anthony Davis, 25 points. 23 rebounds. 6 assists. Wilt Chamberlain numbers and shit. LeBron James, 30 points. Jamal Murray left with some sort of a calf injury. I hope it's nothing serious, and I hope that he can, you know, he's listed as questionable for game 5, but they're going to need Murray. They don't have Murray. The Lakers actually have a chance to extend this series because Murray is a pivotal piece. I know Denver's won games without Murray, but it would be a lot tougher for them since the Lakers always start out ahead of the game. But the Lakers didn't melt down or give up the lead. I feel like Denver needs to at least respect the Lakers here because they've been so disrespectful of LA. They automatically start out 10-15 points behind and then come back and win. Denver cannot continue to do that because then you'll fuck around and it'll be game 7. They can't do that in the next series against Minnesota because I have a feeling that, you know, the Nuggets are going to play the Timberwolves since they all experienced seeing the death sentence here. They put their opponents in the death sentence. But I kind of figured that this series would be a gentleman's sweep. I kind of figured that. You want to know why? It's just because, like, you know, eventually LA was going to get over the motherfucking hump. Eventually, the Lakers, you know, the Lakers couldn't miss either. They were hitting shots that they weren't hitting. I mean, but also this game, Denver was missing shots that they would normally hit. Like, I seen Jokic miss shots that he would make. I seen Murray miss shots that he would make. Even Michael Porter Jr. missed shots that he would normally make. So that was like more of the biggest shocker to me. Like, a lot of Denver's misses normally go in for them. And LA took advantage of it. But I feel like game 5 in Denver and that altitude, the Lakers are toast. I'm going to just tell it to you right fucking now. All right, so we have, I know I say this every episode, but I think that this is up there. This is at least a top 2 game of the playoffs. This is at least the top 2 game of the playoffs. The New York Knicks defeated the Philadelphia 76ers 97-92. Whew. This was an amazing game. Just flat out. And oh yeah, before we get to that, the Magic and the Cavs are tied 2-2. And the Nuggets are up on the Lakers 3-1. And the New York Knicks took a 3-1 lead over Philly, as the New York Knicks defeated the Philadelphia 76ers 97-92. Man, this was a knockdown, drag-out, classic playoff game. Super classic. Definitely going to be in one of my favorites that I witnessed, man, because I was watching this game. I watched a cool 90% of this game. We'll be right back. So let's get to the box scores. Jalen Brunson, career playoff high, 47 points, 10 assists. This dude was just electric. This motherfucker couldn't miss. 18 of 34 from the field. Jesus Christ. Them New York Knicks was getting to it. I see why they got the number two seed. I kind of underestimated the Knicks. I'm not going to hold you. OG Anunoby, 16 points, 14 rebounds. Josh Hart at 4 points, but 17 rebounds. Let's look at the Sixers. Joel Embiid had 27 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Tyrese Maxey at 23 points, 6 assists. Kelly Oubre Jr. had 19 points, but that's all the contribution that they had. Like, playing campaign 13 minutes wasn't going to cut it. Nick Batum was not being aggressive offensively, and they didn't even play Buddy Hield at all in this game. Like, De'Anthony Melton got some clock. He's back. Kyle Lowry was not that great in this game. Maxey and Embiid, all they had was Kelly Oubre. There was, you know, New York got contributions from everybody. The thing that set the Knicks apart was not only Jalen Brunson's performance, but just the fact that these guys kept getting offensive rebounds. Like, the offensive rebounds, every offensive rebound that New York got was crucial. It was 15-9 in the offensive rebounds. That was the first thing that I noticed. And then, you know, of course, New York had the rebound advantage, 52-42. Oh, I forgot about Deuce McBride, 13 points. Deuce McBride, every time Miles McBride made a shot, it was crucial and it was clutch. And it was right when they needed it. A lot of people are saying that Nick Nurse made a mistake by not sitting Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter. I mean, you want your best player out there as long as he can. You know what I'm saying? You want your top dog out there. Now, I got a question. Do y'all think that the Philadelphia 76ers can come back and win this series? I think about 25% of me out of 100%. I say 25% of me believes that Philly could come back in this series. But unfortunately, though, for them, however, the 75% of me that thinks that it's over, they're going back to New York. That's not a good look. However, you know, Philadelphia's been kind of disappointing. I know Embiid's not been 100%, but in all of these games, all four of these games, Philadelphia has been in all of them. That's why I feel like there's a small part of me that feels like Philly could come back from down 3-1 and win this series. Because they've been really close, but the Knicks have more dog. And I feel like some of the Philly role players are inconsistent, whereas the New York Knicks role players are solid. So, you have to really think about it. Like, Is this the end for the Philadelphia 76ers? If so, it would be a disappointing end. And I feel like Nick Nurse, I felt like he should have went deeper into the bench earlier in the series. I feel like if Campaign would have played more in game one and game two, it would be a tied 2-2 series. Honestly, Philly could have won this series 4-0. But Philadelphia has been unable to close out games. Usually Embiid would be the closer, but he has been a little bit paused, too banged up to do so. He's been too hurt. And then, you know, Maxey was missing a lot of shots that he would normally take and make. So I don't know, man. The Knicks, you know, are going back home up 3-1. It may be it's two different possibilities and probabilities. I say it's a 75% chance that they close this shit out. But my heart is saying that Philly is going to make this a 7-game series, come back and win. But logically, if we're being logical here, New York is probably going to close them out. Because it's just a battle between my logic and my heart. And the logic may win. All right, let's move on to this next game. The Los Angeles Clippers defeated the Dallas Mavericks 116-111. Man. The Mavericks were down by 31 points in this game. And this became another prize fighter fight here. So look at the box scores. James Harden, 33 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. Looking like that Rockets James Harden, huh? Them double D titties became a flat chest today, goddammit. Paul George, 33 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. I question his heart for the game and whether he gave a fuck last game. And he said, fuck you, King, no, eat a dick. I still got it. He was 7 of 10 from 3 as well. Beats of Zubac, 13 points. Terrence Mann, 11 points. Norm Powell, 11 points. Pretty decent output from the Clippers and their role players. Kyrie Irving, 40 points. 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Jesus. Luka Doncic did not shoot it particularly well. 10 of 24, 1 of 9 from 3, but 29 points. He fucked around and got a triple-double. 29 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds. Derrick Jones Jr. had 14 points. Yeah, it was a great rally by Dallas, but it was just too little too late. The Clippers were on point five all the time, Tip. And James Harden, you know, I criticize James Harden a lot about closing games, but he definitely closed today's game. But here's the issue, though. James Harden tends to falter in closeout games, not games 1-3. It's usually games 4-7. That James Harden starts to fall off the wagon. But this game 4, Harden was great. But however, I gotta see Harden in a closeout game. As a Clipper, we gotta see if that same old Harden's gonna show up when it's time to close the series, or is he gonna choke like always in the playoffs? But this game was a great back and forth, very close, but unfortunately, somebody had to lose, and that was Dallas. And now the Clippers and the Mavericks are tied at two. Clippers, you know, played pretty well without Kawhi Leonard. Nothing short of amazing from both teams. I knew this game was going to go seven, whether Kawhi played or not. It's just a battle of the stars, dancing with the stars. Because Harden was dancing around all these motherfuckers. And Harden and Paul George really played similar to Luka and Kyrie. They were able to get to, you know, but Paul George was just on fire. Like, he came out the gate with the AK. All right, let's move on to the next game as the Indiana Pacers defeated the Milwaukee Bucks 126-113, and the Pacers take a 3-1 lead over the Bucks. The Bucks did not have Damian Lillard or Giannis Antetokounmpo. And that's a very unfortunate situation in Milwaukee, but in my opinion, y'all may not like how I say this, but it's the karma of firing Adrian Griffin came back to haunt the Bucks. They never should have fired dude in the first place, and now you got bad luck, Doc. To contend with. But, I mean, injuries really messed up the competition in this series. This series had the potential to go seven games if Dame or Giannis or both were there. I think it was going to go seven regardless because the Pacers are a tough out. I mean, the addition of Pascal Siakam is paying dividends, but let's look at the box score, though. All right, Chris Middleton continues. Well, he had to do this. Chris Middleton had 25 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Brook Lopez had 27 points, 9 rebounds, shot 3 of 5 from 3. Damn, this is easily his best game. Malik Beasley, 20 points, 4 of 7 from 3. The Bucks got contributions from everybody. It's just that the Pacers were just too much. And you could tell that the Bucks were missing Dame and Giannis. Because if they would have played in this game, the Bucks probably still would have won despite production from the Pacers. Now, the Pacers had 6 niggas in double figures. Aaron Nesmith, 13 points. Pascal Siakam had 13 points. Miles Turner had 29 points. And 9 rebounds. Andrew Nembhard had 15 points and 9 assists. Tyrese Haliburton had 24 points. Obi Toppin had 13 points off the bench. Just a great team effort from the Pacers. Like, these dudes are legit. I mean, I kind of knew they were legit, but I felt like they were a little overmatched in this Bucks series, but we did not anticipate that Giannis was not gonna play in the first 4 games. We did not anticipate Damian Lillard having an Achilles injury. And in my opinion, my heart of hearts, the Bucks need to sit Dame and Giannis for the rest of the series. No disrespect intended. You don't want to injure these guys further. You don't. And then Bobby Portis was ejected 7 minutes into the game. I feel like if Bobby would have contributed, if Bobby would have contributed, bruh, I think that they would have won this game. I think the Bucks probably would have had a better chance of winning, in my opinion. But anyway, yeah, that Bobby Portis altercation with Andrew Nembhard was hilarious, though. Oh, yeah, and just a message to all my niggas that bet. Never bet on hotheads. Always bet the under on hothead motherfuckers like Bobby Portis. And Draymond Green, of course. All right, now we have, this is probably the upset of the playoffs by far, because I counted this team out from day one. I did. So, the Minnesota Timberwolves defeated the Phoenix Suns in four games. 112 to 116. A lot of shit happened in this game. Crazy shit indeed. But we're going to talk about it. So, Anthony Edwards, 40 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Karl Anthony Towns, 28 points, 10 rebounds. Jaden McDaniels, 18 points. Mike Conley, 10 points. All right. Phoenix Suns side of things. Devin Booker, 49 points. 49 points. And they still lost. That is crazy. Kevin Durant, 33 points, 12 of 17 shooting. Bradley Beal, only 9 points, 4 of 13 shooting. He was in foul trouble most of this game. And Devin Booker had 21 free throw attempts and made 20 of them. Crazy stat of the night right there. Like, from day one, I was incorrect about the Wolves. I don't think anybody expected them to beat Phoenix in four games. I don't think nobody picked that correctly. I mean, I had Suns in six. I knew the Wolves were going to win a couple of games. But shit. All four? Just like that? That's wild. And the reason why the Suns were swept was just due to the fact that Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Naz Reid, they were just paused. They were just too big, man. It was just Gobert and Towns were just simply better than Nurkic and Durant.
You also have to think about it like this. This has been a disappointing season for Phoenix. Like, when in the beginning of the season, I had Phoenix as a top two seed in the Western Conference. Now, you do have to understand that Beal was hurt most of the season, so he couldn't necessarily get chemistry from Booker and Durant. And it always came down to health. But in this series, all three of them were there. Health was not a concern. It was just the lacking on defense. They couldn't stop Anthony Edwards. They couldn't stop Karl Anthony Towns. And they couldn't stop Rudy Gobert. Those were the determining factors in the Wolves winning that series. So therefore, this is the first eliminated team in the real playoffs. So, I'm going to do the honors. Land of the eliminated Phoenix Suns. I never thought that I would be doing this. Never in my wildest dreams was I thinking that I was going to do a Land of the Eliminated Phoenix Suns. But here we are. So, this has been an overall disappointing season for Phoenix. And I got a lot to say. I mean, I did this last show where I asked the question, what are the Suns going to do in the offseason? Let's take a look at their free agents. So the Suns free agents, we got Bol Bol being a free agent. Will Bol Bol go to where he's appreciated? I think he should go back to the Magic, in my opinion. I think he should go back to the Magic. Royce O'Neal is a free agent. Is he going to stay? I have no idea. Thaddeus Young probably might retire. I think Phoenix should bring back Isaiah Thomas. Eric Gordon, will he go elsewhere? Damian Lee was hurt for most of the season. They definitely missed him because that guy is a three-point sharpshooter. Okogie, you know, has a player option. I could see Eric Gordon opting in his player option and maybe Okogie as well. I see Damian Lee returning to the Golden State Warriors. I see Saben Lee maybe staying. But yeah, man, just a disappointing season for the Suns. It's terrible. But you put me in the GM chair for Phoenix. Or put me... Oh, yeah. Before we get to that, right? After, you know, during the game, Phoenix Suns coach Chris Finch was injured. You know, Mike Conley was going into the stands, you know, to get the ball. You know, he collided with his own coach. And according to Shams, the Timberwolves coach has been feared to have a torn patellar tendon in his knee. That's crazy. That's a wild thing. I mean, can he still coach? Because I seen him back there with the team, you know. He had crutches. They were standing around him making sure he was okay. But prayers go up to Chris Finch. But back to Phoenix, land of the eliminated. So, first thing that I would do, no disrespect intended, but I would fire James Jones. Because you got to think about it. When somebody gambles, it's either you win big or you lose big. Pause. But that's the thing about gambling. You either win big money or you lose all your motherfucking money. And that's just a fact. You have to really sit and think about this shit. Right? Right. I would fire James Jones. Just basically, you know, because as I stated on my last show, they have no first or second round picks. So this means that, you know, you got to get rid of something to get something. You're stuck with Beal. You're stuck with Booker. I mean, I'd re-up with Royce O'Neal, Bobo, Isaiah Thomas. I'd let the rest of them walk. That's an 8-man rotation right there. You still have Grayson Allen, who you re-signed, so you're still going to have him. In my heart of hearts, I'm trying to trade Kevin Durant and Joseph Nurkic. That's the only thing that, you know... Nah, I tucked this soft-ass instrumental. Oh, there we go. Some gangster shit. Yeah. I would trade Kevin Durant and Joseph Nurkic. Jello Beats. And build around Booker and Beal. I'd go get a point guard. Preferably a tall point guard. Something like a Sean Livingston level player. So, I would go get a point guard and the best shot blocking center available. Those are the two pieces that would complete this Phoenix team. They have potential. But a big three, that shit is dead in 2024. It's all about the young. You gotta stay young. You gotta get the youth. The youth, the youth, the youth. Let me check the 2024 free agents. I mean, obviously, we know Tyrese Maxey's returning to Philly. No doubt in my mind, for sure. Paul George, But I'd say hell no on Paul George. The last person that they need. This sounds like a LeBron James caliber move. I wouldn't be surprised if he went there. James Harden would be a very interesting pickup. Because I'm not sure if the Clippers can keep all those salaries. Harden would be interesting in Phoenix. I'm just looking at the top free agents. Ooh, D'Lo. I mean, D'Lo's more built of the Durant ilk. But then again, I just thought about it. They can't sign no goddamn player that demands more than $10 million. They gotta sign veterans minimum niggas. I gotta look at those motherfuckers.
Let me check point guards. I mean, I know Kyle Lowry's old as fuck, but he would help them. I mean, if you want to gamble on Lonzo, I would do that. Markelle Fultz would be a perfect pickup, but he ain't going for no veterans minimum. Westbrook, maybe. I'd like to see Russ in Phoenix reunite with Kevin Durant for the veterans minimum. Campaign reuniting with the Phoenix Suns. I think that would be a good look. For Campaign to return? That would be a good pickup. But however, they would have to trade for a solid point guard. And a shot blocking center. Those are the two missing pieces for Phoenix. I would have got JaVale McGee back. You could get him for the low. Such a disappointing thing for Phoenix. Like I said, more than likely, you know, I would give Vogel one more season. But however, according to the rumor mill, James Jones may fire Frank Vogel to save his own ass, because he should be really the one that they fire. But I would definitely give Vogel one more season with a revamped roster. But I would trade Durant and Nurkic for sure. For somebody. Not sure yet. We'll come up with that on a later show. We'll address that. But my last thoughts on Phoenix, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are front runners. Let's start on Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, man, without Golden State, you just Carmelo Anthony, bro. And that's no disrespect to Melo. If Melo had Kevin Durant's opportunities, he'd have more rings than you. Like, Kevin Durant, all he literally does is score, which is cool. But there's no leadership there. It's just like Kevin Durant said himself. He's a hooper, not a basketball player. Hoopers, you know, they got game. But a basketball player, you know, is different. A basketball player is a professional. You know, Kevin Durant just didn't have the leadership qualities. He's won championships with other leaders, like Steph Curry. And that's crazy that Steph went and got another ring without him. I think that was like the determining factor here. Like, this dude has had Kyrie Irving and James Harden and couldn't get to a Western Conference Finals. This dude has had Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and got swept. And Devin Booker, I'm disappointed in him. It took until game 4 for him to finally play like he had some sense.
I mean, he had a great game. I'm not taking away the great game that he had. I'm saying that the rest of the series, he was on lockdown. And you waited until you were down 3-0 to show up and say, damn, we could really go home. I also think that the Suns underestimated the Minnesota Timberwolves. I really do. And that shit is just very unfortunate. And Booker's been to a finals before. And none of these dudes on the other team have played in the NBA Finals. Mike Conley went to the Western Conference Finals once. Anthony Edwards never made it out of the first round until now. Karl Anthony Towns has never made it out of the first round until now. Rudy Gobert has been in the second round of the playoffs. Jane McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander Walker. These guys have never been anywhere. And they, I mean, you got to give the credit to Chris Finch, though. Got to give the credit to Finch, though. Hands down. All right. Let's move on to game 4. Boston versus Miami, as the Boston Celtics defeated the Miami Heat 102-88 as Boston takes the home court out of Miami and wins both games in Miami. And now they're looking towards closing out at home in Boston, hopefully. I did say that Miami could take two games, and Boston's home record has not been all that. But let's get to these box scores. Man, the man of the night was Derek White. Like, Derek White, man, this dude was on fire. And Derek White is one of those guys that will randomly have a game like this. With everybody's eyes on Porzingis, Tatum, and Brown, and Drew Holiday, you forget about Derek White. And that's how he's able to be effective, because teams forget about him. On some plays, he'll be wide open. But Derek White had 38 points, 15 of 26 from the field, 8 of 15 from 3. Jason Tatum, 20 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Jaylen Brown, 17 points. Drew Holiday, 11 points. They didn't need much from their bench to win this game. Bam Adebayo had a great night. 25 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists. Caleb Martin, 18 points. Tyler Hero, 19 points. Not much contribution from the role players. I think that's what made the difference. And then just Derek White having that night. It was kind of tough for the Heat to overcome, because you already dealing with Tatum and Brown, who are threats every night. But unfortunately, man, Kristaps Porzingis got hurt. He got injured. Kristaps Porzingis' right calf will undergo imaging on Tuesday, but early indications are that he has not sustained a Achilles injury. See, like, during a play where he was trying to drive to the basket, he immediately knew that he couldn't put weight on whatever he injured. So basically they're saying is it's a right calf. According to Woj, Jamal Murray is expected to play in game 5. I mean, he's currently, you know, he was warming up with his team. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be official that he does play. Now, you know, he has a strain in his calf. You know, these calves, man, these niggas gotta get to the weight room. But yeah, man, yet another ass whooping. Like, Boston is whooping Miami's ass. Like, this shit is crazy. Like, I know that this is what you're supposed to do with an 8 seed that's down Jimmy Butler. I get it. But god damn, they're making it look like it's really an 8 seed. So it does look like, so my thoughts, will Boston win game 5? They should win game 5. Should and will they are two different things. We will not be covering game 5 of the Lakers and the Nuggets. You'll have to wait on that one. We on to the last game of the night. The Oklahoma City Thunder defeated the New Orleans Pelicans 97-89 as the Oklahoma City Thunder swept the Pelicans. Let's take a look at the box scores. I can't believe my boys went out like some hoes. But let's talk about it. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. Ooh, 5 niggas at double figures. Josh Giddey, 14 points. Chet Holmgren, 14 points. Jalen Williams, 24 points. Lou Dort, 11 points. That's all they needed. And then, Najee Marshall, 16 points off the bench. CJ McCollum, 20 points. Herb Jones, 11 points. Jonas Valanciunas, 19 points, 13 rebounds. Brandon Ingram, 2 of 14. 8 points, y'all. Lou Dort put the clamps on that boy. My thoughts about this. Just a sad ending to a once promising season for the Pelicans. And the OKC Thunder can take a nice little break. Wait on that, the winner of Dallas and the Los Angeles Clippers series. They gonna get the longest break. They gonna be ready. Did they prove to me that they're legit? No. They beat a Pelicans team without their best player. So they haven't proven nothing to me. They did their job. They beat a team that they were supposed to beat, but they'll earn my respect if they beat the winner of the next round. That's how they earn it. You know, Minnesota beat 3 niggas that was God, you know, scoring gods and shit. They beat somebody. So Minnesota kind of earned the respect a little bit more. However, land of the eliminated New Orleans Pelicans. I feel like they really got to hit the market for backups because, you know, Alvarado, I mean, I like Alvarado's energy. He's a crowd favorite, but he's just too short. Pause. Like, I felt like New Orleans could have used Jordan Hawkins. You know what I mean? You know, he only got 3 minutes and 43 seconds out there. Jordan Hawkins won a NCAA championship. Like, they need to play him more next year. I mean, I like what they doing over there in New Orleans, but I feel like CJ McCollum just not the answer. I think they need to upgrade at point guard. They need a true point guard to set the offense. Now, I'm on the fence on whether I would trade CJ or not. I mean, I feel like CJ could stay there if they got like a Chris Paul, K
caliber player over there. Like, a point guard that can make plays. You know, CJ McCollum's better off the ball than on the ball. But me, I would trade CJ, see what I could get for him. Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, I would keep them. They're young stars, but me personally, I felt like Brandon Ingram was the biggest disappointment in this series. It's just like he was a shell of himself. And that had a lot to do with Lou Dort's defense, but why wasn't they screening Dort off of Ingram? And I just feel like, in general, the Pelicans need a way better bench. They need scorers. You know, I like Larry Nance. I would keep him. I like Najee Marshall. I would keep him. Jordan Hawkins. I would keep him. The rest of them, gotta go. They need better role players over there in New Orleans. And I just feel like, you know, I feel like if Zion Williamson was there, I think that shit would have went 7 games, and I think the Pelicans could have won that series. But all right, y'all, that is my show. This is King Nona Uncensored, Game 3 Talk, and I'm gone.